It's a great pity that we have two parts of the Bible these days. We have an Old Testament and a New Testament. That's pretty bad. It would have been far better to have named them the Old and New Covenants. Testament often has the connotation of death and inheritance, which also obscures the fact that the two covenants the living God so made with his people. The Old Covenant made with his people by way of Moses, spelled out by him on Mount Sinai. Then the Lord, in Exodus 34, 27 and 28, said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel.'" So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant. The Torah itself is not the covenant. Those are just the words of the covenant. The Torah says how you're supposed to do the covenant. The covenant is we're to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We're to be obedient to God. Amen. How do we do that? Well, don't use your little old head to make it up. Read that book. That's how you do it. That's not the covenant. So you don't throw the Torah out when you break that covenant. The old covenant was broken because they were disobedient. That's the reason. That was the old covenant. That was the Mosaic covenant. Wasn't the Torah itself. So you don't just do away with it. Start a new one. Let's just write a new book, you know. The new covenant made with his people by way of his son, spelled out by him, was on the Mount of Beatitudes. Here is how Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah, we've been studying him. This week we studied this whole portion, chapter 31, verses 34, how Jeremiah prophesies the coming of this new covenant, which we sadly today call the New Testament. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Any Gentiles in that? No. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel," Israel, not Gentiles, "after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin." Well, I ain't going to remember it no more. That's what he said. "The words, 'not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt,' seems highly significant. God says, also, he adds, 'my covenant which they broke.' And although the people of Israel broke God's first covenant, God in his great, great mercy promises to give them a new covenant." The same people, not a different group of people. Through a guy named Jeremiah, he says this, that the days would be coming when he would nevertheless make a new covenant with his people rather than revive the old covenant. Now, all of this is very, very important and significant in relation to our present time. For in our day, the Jewish people who have returned, as God promised, to the land of their forefathers, those living in Israel, are being faced with a rabbinate. It's a terrible word. That spells out exactly what Jewish men and women are expected to do according to halakha. There is a code of more than 600 laws and bylaws, mostly based on the commandments, teachings of the first covenant, with many Talmudic additions, as finalized in the famous book called the Shulchan Aruch, an officially accepted handbook demarcating what a Jew is supposed to do or refrain from doing. This is a copy of a compilation. This is not the Shulchan Aruch. This is a book taken from it, which summarizes, and this edition is only about the laws of Sabbath. So this is just a summary of what's in the Shulchan Aruch about the laws of Sabbath only. There's other laws too. So you can imagine what it's like. It would boggle your minds just to read this. Do you know that you can squeeze juice every day of the week, but you can't do it on Shabbat? You can't use a fruit squeezer. What do you call that stuff? Juice maker on Shabbat, but you can do it during the week. Do you know in here that you can put tea into a cup, or water, hot water, into a cup that has a sugar cube in it every day of the week, but on Shabbat, you've got to put the sugar cube into the water. Otherwise, you'll be guilty of cooking.
Whoa.
I mean, that's how technical and detailed this book gets. Whoop! I read it for fun. When I have nothing else to do, you know. Some of you watch cartoons. Well, there's my cartoons. This is certainly not the new covenant that the Lord God promised through the quoted prophet Jeremiah. No. In truth, this halachic way, halachic sounds like something you eat at on Shabbat, challah. In this halachic way, stands in contrast to the words about what Jeremiah describes as the new covenant, where God promises to put his law on people's minds and on their hearts. Where's the tefillin go, by the way? Next to your heart, on your mind. Okay, you taught about that last week, didn't you? So absolutely and so evidently will he do this that Jeremiah 31:34 says, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they're all going to know me." The hallmark of the book, I want to call it the book of the Old Covenant. I want to call it the whole Old Covenant because it's not the Old Covenant. Torah is not the Old Covenant. Torah is the book of the Old Covenant. Some dude comes up with some plan, right? He writes a book, doesn't he, to tell you how to do it. The book isn't the plan. The book is the book of the plan. You see that all the time. They're on TV trying to sell those books to you. Well, that's not the plan. The plan is the stuff he made up. The book is telling you how to do the plan. Well, that's what God did. What was that it was written on stones. We couldn't carry it around here if we had to carry around five books of the Torah on stones. It wouldn't. Jerry, you wouldn't have been able to do it. And directed to people from outside, to hearts that were mainly, guess what? These people left Egypt. They were slaves. Their hearts were stony. They didn't love anything. It is said that thou shalt not. It came from outside people's hearts, minds, and it had to be explained and administered by Moses, by elders, by priests and scribes. And today we have rabbis who had to tell the people in each instance what the law required of them. Don't put the sugar cube in ahead of the water on Shabbat. That's why the promise of the new covenant is so refreshing. For it promises not only hearts of flesh instead of stone, but holds forth that people, after being initiated by God's Holy Spirit into the reality of this new covenant, would no longer need, guess what, outside teachers telling them what to do. I don't have to tell you what to do. There's no rabbi that needs to tell you what to do. Instead, you're going to be told by your indwelling spirit. Do you have a Ruach HaKodesh that dwells in you?
Yeah.
And that spirit is going to tell you what to do. Know it for themselves in their own minds, in their own hearts. You're going to do that. You're going to know it in your own mind, your own heart. You don't need me up here telling you, hey, don't put the sugar cube in. What an amazing liberty and intimacy between the believer and his Lord, the child and his father. What a relationship you now have. Man, you should be excited to be alive during this time. At no other time in history has ever this happened, except in the last 2,000 years, but it hasn't really come to fruition until now. I mean, it's really out there now. Right, Lisa? You saw 2,000 people. Did they look like they were putting sugar cubes in? They were excited. You met. Okay. John, 1 John 2:26, 27 describes the reality of this new covenant. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and it is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you will abide in him. In like fashion, Rabbi Shaul says in Romans 8, 1 through 17, I don't know if I read all this, but there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the laws of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Shalom. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you? Then you are his. You belong to him. And if Christ is in you, it goes on to say, I'm not making this up, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he also raised Yeshua from the dead and will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Yeah. Man. If you were a bunch of Romans, you'd be loving to hear this stuff. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you're going to live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yeah. You're all yelleds. Yeah, y'all could stand under that chuppah, but we just don't have room for you. We need a bigger chuppah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we indeed we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. Boy, that's quite a passage, huh? So God himself again and again promised the reality of this new covenant when the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon his people and so write his law upon their hearts and guide their lives for dwelling on him. Ezekiel says, that I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. This is 36 verses 24 through 35. I will give you a new heart. How many of you want a new heart? I have a blocked artery in my heart. I mean, my heart's fine, but God gave me a new artery. The doctors wouldn't touch this 100% blocked artery because God started cutting a new channel in my heart, and the guy that did my angiogram, he says, God's already done the work. We're not going to touch it. Some of the blood is flowing through a new artery. He created a new artery in me. That's awesome. So if he could do that, he can give you a new heart. man, but I don't think I need a new heart. I just need a bigger artery flow. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. God, if you get the spirit, then you want to do that. You don't want to sit there and say, I don't want to do that stuff. You know, it really restricts my life. And you will keep my judgments and do them. And then, if you do all that, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. And guess what? I will be your God. Wow. So this new covenant has everything to do with the Jewish return and the restoration to the land, as we see from the scriptures. Which covenant then do we, in the name of God, hold out to be the present to the present people of Israel, who, as God promised, have returned to this, their land, to be initiated into a new covenant in relation to which God promises to pour out His Spirit upon them with the divine result that He will put His law in your minds and write it on your hearts. Who? Well, Paul writes in Galatians 5, the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, testify, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will promise you profit you nothing. And I testify to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You are tempted to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For of Christ Jesus, in Him, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So then he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Do you know that people who smile don't rob banks? Do you ever see a bank robber that smiles? No. They usually wear masks. Yeah. People who are happy don't commit crimes. So people who are in the Spirit aren't going to sin. Right? So, there you are. The works of the flesh are evident, and I don't want to read this whole list. Boy, I didn't know there was that much works of the flesh. There's a whole bunch of stuff here, you know? Goes all the way from A to Z, but I'm not going to say it. But the fruit of the Spirit, though, is love. L-O-V-E. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Yeah. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I'm sure that what Paul says here in relation to the new covenant is a hard saying for many, both Jews and Gentiles. But it is meant to open us to the new and fuller way that he describes himself. Galatians 5:14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Guess what it is? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. Oh, no one anything, Romans 13:8-10, except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, etc., etc., are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what it says in Romans. The amazing thing, however, is that whereas God himself says that his own people have broken the covenant he made with them in Sinai, that most Jewish and Christian people who are involved with the spiritual well-being of the Jewish nation tend towards reviving the old covenant. We all seem to think we need to do Torah to get around here, in a mistaken with rather than committing ourselves with one God to the new covenant he has prepared for his people rather than reviving the old one. We're not going to pick up and do all those things the rabbis say we do. Because if you start doing them, you're supposed to do them all. So that means you can't put your sugar cube in on the Sabbath ahead of the water. And you can't squeeze your fresh orange juice on Saturday mornings. I mean, if you're going to not light a fire or not go to a store and, you know, go out to eat and spend money. And you know what? I found out it's okay to talk about money. So on one of these days, I'm going to talk about money with y'all. Because they tell me that as a rabbi, I have failed you. Do you know that when you're saved from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, aren't you?
Yeah.
But there's one part of your body that God seems to forget about, your wallet. People get saved from the top to the bottom, but their wallet doesn't seem to get saved because nobody throws it in there. Something wrong in the state of Denmark here. Like Hamlet said, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. You want a new building? Divvy dip. Anyway, that's another sermon. Jesus himself in his Sermon on the Mount stresses the importance of the law of this new covenant when he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor. Boy, I'm falling apart here. And hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemy. Man, that's easy to do, right? No. Love your enemy. I can't do that. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. And do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You know, I do pray for those people who cut me off in traffic now. Those Iowa license plates. I say, God, just bless that person who just cut me off, because I'd like to cut him off. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just. And guess what? We're not the only ones that get rain. The unjust get it too.
Yeah.
For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? The IRS loves you. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you have? What do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Actually, most of the Sermon on the Mount is an expression or commentary on the importance of going the second mile and leading lives of love.
Yeah.
Man, we got to love everybody. For as the New Covenant says, Romans 13:8, he who loves has fulfilled the Torah. Remember, the Torah rests on two commandments. We say this every week. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. How do we do that? Well, don't make up your own rules. I could think of ways to love my neighbor, but I would get in trouble. Read the Torah. It'll tell you how God wants you to love other people. Don't make up your own rules. Amen. I mean.